So it was a bit of a whirlwind on Thursday for us because it was like waking up early, going to the Red Sonja meetup, like promoting the panel, running around, talking to people about it, and then quickly heading back to our rooms, getting changed and getting ready for the next event, which was Ignition Press. And they are a PR company that helps take comic book authors, writers, legends essentially, and like green lights their amazing projects. And it was a hectic day. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Delulu Canoe Podcast. Today we are sleepy and tired, but happy to be here, happy to be in the canoe. But let's take a nice little ride down the river. And joining me today, we're gonna have Adam Williams Astro in the canoe with me.
Hello. What up, what up, what up?
On a scale from 1 to 10, how exhausted are you?
Like a solid eight. Eight,
Yeah.
yeah. I mean, I've been back at work for 2 days, so but yeah, we didn't really get a lot of reprieve from like con right back to normal life. So yeah, I'm a bit fatigued. How about you?
Yeah, I am at like 10. I'm at like
You're at a
max 10
ten.
exhaustion. Like I have been tired in my life, but not quite like this. And I wish I could explain why I'm so tired. I think I just like didn't set myself up for success before we went to San Diego, but we're gonna dive into it. So today's topic, as you probably read on the title, is San Diego Comic Con. We have now done San Diego 3 times, right?
That sounds right. Yeah,
I
three.
feel
That
like
sounds
it's
correct.
three.
Two or three. At least two.
Yeah, I think this was our third.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is our third San Diego Comic Con, and this one was a little bit different than most cons for us, especially like comparatively to our other San Diego cons, and mainly because we actually had a pretty successful work day on Thursday when we first got there. And I feel like normally we just kind of like banter back and forth, but I think like we should try to talk about like each day and what things we like really loved about the convention, what things we like enjoyed experiencing as we just kind of like go through the days. And first of all, I feel like San Diego is literally the top busiest convention on this side of the country, right? Like it's the most people buy the most tickets for this one, it's the most sold out.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's obviously not like Dragon Con or New York size, but yeah, it's for this side of the country, yeah, definitely the biggest.
Do you think it's smaller than New York? I feel like this is bigger than New York Comic Con.
I felt that way too, but after we went to New York last year, I remember looking up the numbers and they were saying it from what the numbers reported, New York was like twice as many people as what San Diego is.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, 'cause like
Whoa.
I was reading that like LA or San Diego was like 40 or 50,000 last year. Dragon Con was 80, and New York was like 90 or 95 or something like that.
That's crazy. We'll have
Yeah.
to like check them this year and see if they like fluctuated a little bit.
Yeah.
But we love San Diego. That was like my favorite con for the longest time. I don't know if it is anymore though. I'm like kind of shuffling around like which con is my favorite each year. But I definitely feel like this year the biggest difference for us is that we actually got paid to work events, and I think that really shifted our end result of the convention, and not in a bad way, but just in a different way. Like it was experiencing San Diego in a very nuanced way for us both. So we'll dive right into that actually. So this year on Thursday, I was paid by two different brands to promote something for them while at the convention, which is something I've always really wanted to do, where you attend a convention, but you're like getting a paycheck while you're going, which is like
Right.
incredible and like a cosplayer's dream. And it's so great to see that the job of being a cosplayer is now again starting to rise. Like after the pandemic, I feel like it's not been as popular. It's not been as like around anymore. The companies are saving their money, sort of kind of thing, I imagine. And I was paid by the Red Sonja official because they have a big movie that's coming out. They had a panel that was happening on Thursday. And I was paid by Ignition Press to be there and promote those two events. And it was crazy that they both happened on the same day. So it was a bit of a whirlwind on Thursday for us because it was like waking up early, going to the Red Sonja meetup, like promoting the panel, running around, talking to people about it, and then quickly heading back to our rooms, getting changed and getting ready for the next event, which was Ignition Press. And they are a PR company that helps take comic book authors, writers, legends, essentially, and like green lights their amazing projects. And it was a hectic day.
Yeah.
Like, I already went into the day not feeling the best, to be honest. So I was already feeling a little bit bogged down and then trying to run from like one thing to the next while changing and like adjusting. It shook out to be a really incredible day because Ignition gave me a booth with them, which was super cool. And I got to like meet more of you than I ever had at San Diego. And it actually turned out like really well comparatively to our booth situation at San Diego 2 years ago. So
we don't talk about that anymore. Yeah.
What?
I said, we don't talk about that anymore.
We do. What do you mean?
Do we still talk about that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We just don't like name drop the company that fumbled the bag.
Right.
But like, we still talk about it, that like they sort of, you know, it's like every time I have a booth at San Diego, something always happens. Something always goes wrong.
Yeah.
But this actually turned out well. There was only 1 hour-ish and 15 minutes of me selling. But one of my pieces of art sold. We sold like a couple Vampirella comic books, some signed prints.
Body pillowcase.
Like it, you know, went really well for the fact that like I didn't really get to promote it because it was a very, oh, yeah, you get this booth.
Yeah.
Like normally I would not say yes to that. Like so last minute, like I love at least like a month of promotion. So that way people can still buy tickets. But San Diego, it's like impossible to get tickets last minute anyway. So,
yeah,
but I would still say like Thursday was a really good day. It was just stressful.
Yeah. And you totally forgot to talk about Wednesday's preview night, which we've never done before.
Oh,
which
I'm
is
sorry. You're
essentially
right.
More of the con, but nobody's in cosplay yet.
Yeah. I mean, that's not true. There were people in cosplay.
But not
but like,
not even
it's not
close
the same.
To the same numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny how the preview night is sold as like, they're like, oh, some of the vendors are set up. Not everybody is. Like, it's supposed to be lighter and easier to get through and stuff and just kind of like to check things out and figure out where booths are. But then you walk past stuff and like half the booths are sold out of stuff already. Like,
yeah.
On preview night. How is that possible?
That was wild. Like,
yeah.
I agree. We've never made it out to Wednesday and it wasn't like jam packed, but it was busy for a preview night where you're supposed to just like see the things that you might want to buy. It was full blown. Nope. Another con day. Like just get in early, buy what you want to buy. Like luckily, oh my gosh, I don't have the artwork, but I stopped by Carlation's booth and I got one of her K-pop Demon Hunter prints and she sold out like very quickly.
Of course.
So it was great that we like ran into her that night. But yeah, do we recommend preview night? Like how do we feel about that?
I mean, if you want to get through to actually buy stuff, like I would say preview night's not a bad idea because like it's going to be less lines. You're going to be able to get through and get stuff obviously earlier and buy stuff and sell it out before anybody else can. So, I mean, yeah, if you're after something specifically at the con, I would say go to preview night. Like if it's, you're looking for something like the Magic, you know, special drops where they're dropping the whole sets a month early or whatever, obviously that's going to happen at a very specific time and you're not going to get that during the preview night. But yeah, like if you're like, oh, I just want to get all my Pokemon plushies or all my mystery boxes out of the way, like preview night's great for that. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was worth going to, like, especially because we'd never experienced it before, so I thought it was kind of cool. Definitely feel like we were also misguided on what preview night essentially was. Like, obviously, it's you get a preview of what's to come, but, like, there is a misconception that, like, there's a lot of press preview night.
Yeah.
And I did not experience that. Like, we rolled up. Granted, we weren't in cosplay, so we weren't getting stopped by people, but, like, I disagree with the like, oh, it's the night where a lot of press is happening. Maybe for the booths, but not for the attendees.
Yeah, definitely not.
So I don't know. Yeah. Fight us in the comment section below if we're wrong. Because like maybe again it's because we weren't dressed, so people weren't stopping us, but I didn't see a lot of people running around with cameras.
Yeah, no, not really at all. But back to Thursday. So yeah, I think Thursday worked out really, really well because you had everything really organized. We knew where we were going ahead of time. The stuff you did for the beauty comic book was awesome. It was a Thursday was a good day. A lot of stuff going on, but like well planned out, and I think everything for the most part went the way it was supposed to.
Yeah, I got body painted for like 2.5 hours for to help promote the beauty comic book, and that was also like really cool. But I definitely felt like Thursdays, usually at the con for us both, that's usually our big press day. Like I go back to last year, what were we on Thursday? Oh, I was Professor Garlic.
You were Professor Garlic, and I was like
And you were Slytherin
random dark
Professor.
arts professor. Yeah, I think eventually I ended up giving him like one of the older Slytherin guy names that I kind of looked like just because it felt weird to keep saying like I'm just
Dark
some
Arts
dude guy.
Professor.
Yeah.
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 And that was like probably the most published image that we got last year was like me in this like Amazon Throne Together cosplay, like plastered all over the articles for like top 25 cosplays of San Diego.
And like
And
nobody even knew who Professor Garlic was, and that's still one of my favorites that you do. It looks great because of the layers and the colors. Like it looks good but wholesome and like fun. But the way
yeah.
you're wearing it, it's obviously kind of sexy, so it's gonna bring that too. But like it's a good outfit.
It's
You know,
cute.
it's a
Yeah.
cute outfit.
I agree. I think that like next year, if I were to like compare Thursday to past Thursdays, I loved doing the events and I loved getting paid, but I think I love press more. Like part of me is like, if there's a paid job on Thursday, I don't know if I'm gonna take it next year. 'Cause like I was really sad that like Thursday, I didn't like my whole goal for San Diego was to get press on my chainmail armor that I built. And I only got to wear it for like 2 hours promoting the Red Sonja panel. But that's my own fault because I took two jobs. So that's a good learning experience for myself. And I do want to shout out that the Red Sonja panel apparently was like amazing. They got to like meet the actual actors from the movie. I did very briefly because we did like a little bit of promoting of the panel, but I heard amazing things about the panel and like it was huge, spectacular. I wish I could have been there, but I was at that other event, other job, but it looked like they all had a really good time and it was super cool and it was nice to meet other Red Sonja cosplayers from like around the world. Like one of the women was like from Australia, which was really cool. So it felt like my community heart felt full from that.
Yeah,
So
and you
that
could
was
win a
really fun.
chance to win the sword from the movie. Win a chance. That one's for you, Jackie.
Yeah. Well, I think it was Ash that actually said
Oh,
that.
was it? I thought it was Jackie that kept messing that up.
But I am wondering like who won the sword and who won the chance. Interesting. We'll have to find out. We'll do some digging.
Okay, so
But
Friday, what
Thursday
happened?
was good. I would rate Thursday maybe like a 7 out of 10.
Yeah,
Like it was good.
I'm gonna go 8.5 out of 10 because I like organization,
You do realize
and
I had no part in the organization, right? Like
that's
that was
fine.
all
I
Chrissy.
don't care who organized it. Just the fact that I was participating in something that was well organized and logistics were planned out and everything went the way it was supposed to, that makes that makes my little half OCD happy,
It makes
you
your
know?
attendant heart full.
Yeah.
So next was Friday.
Friday.
What were we Friday? That was our Ewok group.
That was Oops, All Ewok. Yes, and the
Oops.
most nakedy I've ever been in a
Yeah, I
cosplay.
actually had a lot of people, because I was
Oh
Twitch streaming today, ask me about that.
no,
So
oh no,
yeah. So
oh
I want to take some time and actually like talk to
no.
you a little bit about that, because I
Okay.
do think it's refreshing when you and I had like a private conversation about like you live, breathe, and die by the bit,
By the bit,
essentially.
yeah.
But this was a bit that was completely outside of your comfort zone because it wasn't a staged bit. Like you weren't on stage. It wasn't for a
Right.
commercial. You were in person,
Yep.
basically wearing like booty shorts and suspenders.
Yes,
And when I
and
talked
nothing
about
else.
it, yeah. And when I talked about it on stream, I was telling them like, for me to talk to you about it later, it was nice for you to kind of understand a little bit of the discomfort that sometimes us women go through wearing smaller cosplays,
Yeah.
where you're out there and like, yes, you're making content of it, and like, you're basically allowing people to have an opinion on your
To
body.
judge the shit out of you. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I would love to get like your insight on like how that felt. Like, would you do it again?
Okay, so yeah, I mean, like I know we had talked about it ahead of time, and I had said something about like, well, you're half naked all the time, and everybody else in the group is half naked all the time. It's mine and William's turn. It's only fair,
Is that why? Was it fair, or was it a joke you guys were
part of
doing?
the bit, yeah,
There you
but
go.
yeah, but yeah, it's weird, I've been naked on stage, I've been naked on camera. But this was like the first time I had to kind of walk around that vulnerable in front of that many people. When you're shooting, it's a little bit different because you've got a skeleton crew of like, 7 to 10 people tops. And even when I did it in theater, it was a small, intimate theater group of only 50, seats or something like that. It's different when you're walking around like 40,000 people. And it's like we all have, our own hangups about our own body image, whatever. Like I'm not exactly where I would like to be, but I also understand that's nobody's fault but my own because I don't have time to work on that, right now. And I could make time, but I haven't, and not in the way that I would like to. But so if I was in a better place of where, I'm a little more comfortable with where I would like my weight ratio to be, that would have been a little bit different. I would have just been fine. But initially it was a little bit uncomfortable, I'm not gonna lie. But then yeah, I live and die by the bit. And as soon as people were like, this is funny, I was like, okay, it's fine. Once it became a funny thing, it was fine. And then like me walking around like C-3PO with, William walking around doing his little wow for his R2-D2, it was like adding that extra layer of playing the character. Then that put me totally back in the realm of like, well, now I'm not walking around half naked around a bunch of people, I'm acting. And even though I'm not getting paid my rate, which is fine, I'm still acting. And then it's like now it's acting, it's the bit, I'm comfortable acting. As long as I'm doing that character, then it's totally fine. And it was like once I hit that point, there was zero uncomfortability again. I could have probably like dropped the shorts and just walked around naked and I would have been fine. You know, like once I decided in my brain this is an acting thing, it was fine.
Yeah, it's interesting how at first, like you think about the bit, right? And the idea is there. And when you first have an idea to do a cosplay that's kind of out there, you're hyped about it. You're thinking about the attention you're gonna get. You're thinking about all the photos, and you're thinking about like the interactions or the jokes. And like as soon as you actually put it on, and then you have to like go out there. Like there's been multiple times where I've put on an outfit and I'm like, am I really about to wear this like out in public for people to see and people to touch you? You know, like yes, like consent needs to be given, but a lot of times people will they'll bump into you and they'll, you know, like accidentally like, "Oop, I'm so sorry." And it's like I've had times where I've had like wardrobe malfunctions because of something like that. And it's interesting how it goes from like idea to actually doing it, that sometimes it scares you and you're like, "Why did I have this idea?"
Yeah, I would say that was definitely the first time I've had that little amount of fabric between my private parts and other people. Usually, because I'm wearing jeans, I'm wearing, a lot of layers or whatever. But this was like, nope, that was a very thin layer of gold booty shorts between the air and my manhood,
Hey, well, I'm proud of you for doing it and following through with it and like coming out of your shell a little bit and having some fun with us as Ewoks.
You guys all looked great as the Ewoks, and the whole like bit every time you saw somebody in gold was great. It was a fun bit.
It was like I really enjoyed. So the Oops All Ewok was actually another group cosplay that was my idea. I don't know where all these ideas come from, but all of a sudden I'm just like, "Oh, what if we did this?" And then I don't know who green lights them, because I'm usually just spitballing ideas, but they get greenlit, and then every time when it comes to like fruition, it's amazing how creative and like how unique all of our skill set is. So you can see how amazing like each of our Ewoks look. Like I could point out like four things on each person's version of their Ewok that I loved. And it was such a great little group. My only wish is that we would have been out and available more to people, because we weren't really like we were out there on Friday, but not nearly as much as I would have wanted. And I think that was a bit of a missed opportunity when it came to planning, at least for me personally. Like, I love that we had a plan and we met up early and we got our photos and we did all that. But like, I was a little bummed to see like our Ewok group didn't get a single, like, we weren't press at all. Like, there was not a single photo of us in an article. And I looked for a lot of the articles to see if maybe we wound up somewhere.
Yeah.
And not to say that the other cosplays that they featured weren't great. There were some amazing cosplays that were featured. But I was a little sad to see that ours didn't make it. And I think that had to do with, like, lack of us being out and available to those photographers.
Right. I think we were locked in at the fountain for a long time. Mm-hmm. But I am kind of surprised that I haven't seen anything pop up of you guys doing the Golden God bit with the Samus armor, because that happened right outside the Star Wars installation.
Yes.
It was literally like 7 Ewoks bowing down to a golden Metroid god in the middle of Star Wars. And there was a ton of people filming, and I have not seen anything show up from that. I know. I'm very surprised.
So I feel like if I were to give myself a note for next year, I'm wondering if there's a group cosplay that we do that's going to be interactive like that. Maybe we need to pay someone for a couple hours to get, like, not necessarily B-roll of us with those moments, but just some sort of, like, filming all of the people filming us doing that moment.
Because right, just it, BTS, yeah.
It was insane how many phones were out filming us bowing down to Samus. And, like, spoiler alert, we actually did it twice because we didn't know anybody that caught that moment on camera. So I had to have Adam film it. I was like, sorry, Adam, don't be in this one. Could you please, like, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, we met that Samus cosplayer who is amazing. So, like, I have their contact information and we, like, swapped the videos and they had already posted it. So it was really awesome that it made it out there in the universe because we restaged it.
Yeah.
But it would be so cool to have somebody for just like even 2 hours just filming people reacting to us, because we had such a cute little group and cute moments of us like bowing to people that happen to be wearing gold cosplays.
Yeah. I also have a theory on maybe why we haven't seen anything show up with it.
Why?
And I mean, obviously Instagram's a different thing, but like a lot of this stuff I see on Reddit, you know, but with Reddit, when it comes to the cosplay groups and stuff like that, you have to put user flair on, or you have to tag flair to the post. And when you're posting stuff like cosplays or stuff from Comic-Con, oftentimes you have to either tag it as self or tag it as a photographer. And I think that we may be seeing the consequence of a transition into true consent, where people are taking these awesome videos, but if they're not in them and if they're not a professional photographer, they don't want to post it because they didn't ask people's permission to post it. And I think that's not necessarily a bad thing. That's great. Like, cosplay is consent, you know, it's
cosplay
the whole thing.
Cosplay is not consent.
Or cosplay is not consent. Right. But so I wonder if maybe that's something too, where people are like, oh, I got this awesome video, but I'm not in it, so I don't want to post anything. Because a lot of the videos they'll see where people will post, like, here's my photo dump from SDCC. It's all selfies with them with other people. Mm-hmm. And they rarely post pictures of just other cosplays that they had.
Yeah, I think you're onto something with Reddit specifically, because you're that. Unapologetically on Reddit all the time. Whereas, like, I'm on Instagram and TikTok and everywhere, and people are constantly filming other people and writing, like, if I could just have a sip of whatever this guy is drinking. Yeah. Like, do you remember the guy that was dancing with the thing?
Yeah.
With the backpack? I have seen him everywhere on TikTok, and it's, like, maybe they're his friends or something, but every time it's like, I would love whatever drug this guy's on. Like,
oh man,
everywhere. So I agree with what you're saying, but I've also seen it the opposite direction on TikTok.
And
so
I think every time I look up anything from this Comic-Con, all I see is 20-foot-tall Galactus.
I know. I cannot escape him. He is everywhere. And it's so cool. Like, whoever did the marketing for, it's Marvel, right? I don't want to say the wrong.
Yes,
okay, thank goodness. Oh my gosh, I almost was a fake fan. Whoever planned that out and planned the marketing for that, they deserve the biggest bonus in the world, because like on every SDCC like hashtag or like recap, he's in it.
Yep.
He's everywhere. So really cool. And I love seeing Stilt Walking getting the attention it deserves, because Stilt Walking does not get a lot of attention in the cosplay space.
Yeah.
So props to the Galacticus Stilt Walkers and the idea and the builders of it. My gosh, it lights up. It's amazing. So
yeah, it was really well done.
Can't miss it.
And having the quotes, you know, playing from the movie that just got released, that was a good move.
I herald
too. Galactus.
Galactus.
Yeah. It was good stuff.
Yeah, I kind of, like, Don't get me wrong. I'm a little jealous. I'm gonna say what it is. I'm a little bummed that Galactus is literally listed in the best cosplays of San Diego Comic-Con all over the place. Like, literally on every list, which is, like, so well-deserved. But also, like, it's the headline of all the articles. It's the main photo of all the articles. And I'm like, man, I love that. Like, I love that Marvel paid for all this and, like, did all this work. But that's not like a person in their garage making it. That's a company that sponsored this build and did this stuff. Like,
do you know that for sure?
I mean, I don't have the receipts and all the stuff, but like literally it was posted by Marvel's booth. They have behind the scenes of them doing the test runs of it all. So it's safe to assume that they paid for the cosplay to be built, to be put on a paid stilt walker.
Okay, because I had read a thing, and I don't know how accurate it is, but I had read a thing that basically said that, like, he was already building it and he was taking photos and videos and stuff, and then Marvel got wind that he was building it, and then they were like, hey, we know you're already doing this, we'll we'll recover your cost for materials and build, and then we'll provide you with press and a security team and blah 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 blah. Because there was an interview with him where he was saying that, like, oh, I built this for me and it cost $35,000. If I was building this for Marvel, if they had commissioned
it
me,
it would have been 70
or whatever. Yeah.
I saw that too, but then why were there two stilt performers?
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Because I saw a different person in the cosplay as well, unless that was like, I don't know. I saw two stilt performers. So that's why I was like, okay, they obviously didn't build two. There's not two people that built the same cosplay.
Right.
It's probably like they're just like how Disney does. They probably are wearing different basics underneath, and it's just two different people. Right. So that way he gets a lunch break or whatever. But I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. Next time, I want five guys. I want it full Voltron style.
There
one
you go.
Person in each limb. Yeah.
I do hope you're right, though. Like, I hope I'm wrong on that it was actually built by somebody, because then they do deserve all the press that they're getting. Not that Marvel doesn't deserve it, but, like, I just get a little weird when it's, like, the companies are getting all the press for their builds and for their stuff. When it's like, it should be about the community building things.
Right.
You know, but I don't know. Maybe that's just like my take on it. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. But anyways, moving on. So that was our Friday.
Yep.
Da, da, da.
Saturday.
Oh, we went and we did the steakhouse Friday night.
Oh, yeah. The steakhouse with the best steak in the
Mickey
world.
And
Lou and Mickey's.
Lou and Mickey's.
Yeah. If you guys are in San Diego, go to Lou and Mickey's. They're going to claim they have the best steak, and it's not one of those, like, world's best cup of coffee kind of things. They legit have the best steak.
Like, so that banner's not there anymore.
It doesn't need to
gone.
Be. They don't have to advertise. I think they know.
But that's what drove us to there.
Yeah.
So, like, the first year we went to San Diego, like, we're steak connoisseurs now.
Yeah.
Like,
we eat a lot of steak.
We know what's a good cut of steak and what's not.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We know.
But we kind of went into it. I'm going to swear. We went into it being assholes. The first time we read that banner, we're like, oh, world's best steak, or like best steak in the country.
Congrats, you did it. Yeah.
And we went in, and boy, did we eat our words.
Yeah.
So that was like 2 years ago. And every year when we come back, we like make a point to make a reservation. We go in and we sit there with that plate in front of us. And we're like, is this actually this good, or are we just DeLulu? Do we know what we're talking about? And every time we take that first bite, we're like, yep, this is the best steak.
It didn't even hit my tongue. I had the steak on the fork in my mouth, and the vapor hitting my soft palate, like without the meat actually touching anything, was already better than almost any steak I'd ever had. It hadn't even touched my tongue yet.
It's wild. Like, we don't even know how they do it or what they do. It's so good. So if you're ever in San Diego, go check them out. Lou and Mickey's. It looks like a nice place. Like, it is I wouldn't say 5-star.
I mean, yeah, probably 4. Probably
yeah,
four,
like close.
4.5. Yeah.
But taste, 5.
Yeah,
six.
10 out of 10. Yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem like a very bougie place, but like it's good. But that's our Friday. What did we do Saturday?
Nintendo Wars.
Saturday was the coveted Nintendo Wars. Again, another cosplay idea that I've had in my brain for a very, very long time. I've always wanted to do, she's called Slave Leia, but in today's 2025, we're trying to rebrand it because we don't love the word slave.
Right.
Obviously. Duh. So she's sort of been rebranded to Hut Slayer. And
because that's the outfit she wears when she kills Jabba the Hutt.
When she slays the Hutt.
Yep, slays the Hutt.
So I was always imagining, because like Hutt Slayer Leia is like my top sold print. And I like it, but like it, I don't own the, I've never built the cosplay. It's literally one I bought off Amazon. So that like kind of feels weird to me. So I finally was like, I want to actually make my own Hutt Slayer cosplay. So Jacqueline and I, if you go on Dare Wears, we're going to have an hour long video where you get to see exactly how we made these cosplays. And it took 6 months of planning, things going wrong, rebuilding, bad shoes, bad wigs, readjusting. Not that the wigs were bad, but like right. adjusting things. And so our idea finally came to fruition at San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And we had a group. So I was Hutt Slayer Daisy. So the typical Leia bikini, but in Daisy colors. We had Jacqueline, who is Peach in the Leia bikini, but Peach colors. We had Ashlyn Day as Rosalina, so same concept again. And then we had Adam, who yeah, you were.
I was Darth Waluigi, and Saturday was my favorite day. For yeah? Sure. Yeah.
Okay, I love yeah. it. And then we had Miss Chrissy Lynn, who was like a Darth
She was like a Darth
Sith Yoshi.
Yeah.
And then we had Connor, who Connor was like a Jedi toad. With like a cool.
She was like a toad. They were like a toad. And then Jedi. And it was the species that Ahsoka is. And I can't remember the name of Ahsoka's species. Okay. But it had like the Ahsoka style tendrils. I'm like such a fake Star Wars fan. I'm like, I can't remember her species name. But they were like colored like the toad. Yeah.
And Dorian was our Mario.
Solo. Which was brilliant. I loved his Mario Solo. Like, the Han Solo pistol with a bullet bill in the front of it. Like, it was so good.
It was such a fun group. I want us to do it again because I feel like I don't know how we didn't get any press for it.
Yeah. Like, everybody killed it on that day.
I know, right? Like, it was amazing. Oh.
And we ran into a Mario DeLorean in the hotel and a Peach DeLorean or Princess Peach DeLorean, whatever. And
yes.
They were supposed to join our group. They couldn't make it, but we did catch up with them later and we did get pics with them. And, like, their outfits were awesome, too. Like,
those were amazing.
The Mandalorian thing is very easy to mash stuff up with because you get a lot of space to do a lot of theming and a lot of coloring and stuff. But, like, dude, I think his name was Tim. He did a great job on that.
And they were super nice.
So nice.
They didn't owe us any, like, conversation at, like, the hotel lobby that we were in. But we were just like, hey, you guys are wearing these outfits. We're wearing this kind of same theme on Saturday. Like, we should meet up at some point. It'd be super cool. And then we wound up crashing into them. So it was like perfect. And they were super nice and wonderful. And I agree. I think that day was like our best cosplay day. Not that the Ewoks weren't as good. Like, I just think our execution and our whole group, I don't know. It's so tough to pick because I love that theme. It is literally from my brain to fruition. So I loved it. I am still in shock that there is not a single professional press photo of our group, but sometimes that's the way it shakes out.
We did have photographers take pictures and stuff. I think just we haven't seen, but you're talking about like
there's press no from, press,
like at San Diego.
No press. And there was another mashup group that had two themed things in one. It was like a Disney prince and princess with pirates.
Yeah.
And their press is all over the place. And I'm like, man, like they could have done their group and then our group because like we also had a mashup, but again, I think we just weren't out and available.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of the way it rolls is that like if you prioritize press, you have to be out on that main drag. You have to be there and like not just for like an hour, but like for multiple hours. And we had a solid plan that day again. So like it's not that we were missing the plan. I think for us personally, we like the press, so we just have to be out there and walk on the pavement a little bit more.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Like, we still got it out there. We still look good.
Yeah.
I also wish we would have had more time to do, like, content together, but I saw that Joni Brosas had a booth, and I noticed that she had, like, a lunch break or, like, an hour where she wasn't really going to be there, and I had asked if she wanted some lunch coverage. So, again, I traded press time for money because then I got to pop into her booth, which was great, made some extra money then. But I think I'm just learning that San Diego, it's not it's all cracked up to be to have a booth. Like, yes, making money is great, but I don't know that the money I made outweighed the recognition and the press that I really wanted.
Right, right.
So, yeah. I don't know. If there's anybody out there that wants to give me their booth for, like, a day, I think I would do it.
For a full day.
But just for a day or, yeah. like, a couple hours, I think it would be great on the main floor, and then just go back out and, like, enjoy the con.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still juggling with that thought because money is great, but, like, and meeting the fans was great, too. So it's, like, how do you – I don't know.
Yeah.
How do you compare? But yeah. I still think our Nintendo War Day was amazing. I wish we would have had some, you know, more press with it because we looked so good.
That was definitely my favorite day because I think that was the one for me that I put the most effort into. You know, mm-hmm. on your Red Sonja day, I was doing my Dark Brotherhood, which is like an old Ren Faire build that I've just been using using to death. You know, and then Saturday or Friday with the Oops All Ewoks, my suspenders and hot pants, that's Amazon. You know,
and then
Sunday it was like, okay, yeah, I did the Cyclops visor for X-Men Day really great, but like the rest of it was just normal clothes. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, Saturday for Nintendo Wars was the day that like I had to do a full build.
And all
that
effort.
And that purple Jedi robe like just looked so good and it stood out and it just, I feel like I did a perfect mesh of like my OC Star Wars character plus Waluigi, you know, mm-hmm. it turned out really great. I was really happy with it.
And I'm always like, duh, obviously you're an actor. Like, let's not pretend you're not. But like, I'm always impressed when you go out that like, this is why I want to like bring out Shaggy and Velma again, because it's so much fun to like act with you as we're meeting with people. Like, we're obviously not sitting there being like, what's an Instagram? Like, we're just being like, Daisy. And you're doing your... And people just love it. People love it. And, like, it makes me really want to change, like, my cosplay lineup for next year. Because I have some, like, wish list cosplays that, like, I want to do. But I kind of want to, like, can some of them so we get to do more, like, acting together. Because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it is fun.
Sunday?
Sunday.
What were we Sunday?
X-Men.
Okay, this was the day that I had zero expectations for because I literally know 2% X-Men due to John Carl being on this podcast. Go watch his episode if you haven't already. But I was kind of like, I don't want to say I was peer pressured into doing Jubilee, but I kind of was. Like, I did not sign up for Jubilee. Like, I was low key kind of like, I don't know. I don't really want to do this. But a couple of my friends were like, just do Jubilee. Jubilee will be great. Like, we'll just Amazon you. Like, this, this, and this. It'll be fine. We'll figure it out. And, like, I was very concerned because Jubilee has very short hair. And I do not look good with, like, short hair. So I was like, I don't know. Let me see if I have, like, a cuter wig that makes it more of a bob. And I had, like, my Buttercup wig from, like, forever ago. And was like, yeah, maybe I'll make this work. And then I put on the outfit. And then I was like, I think I could, like, put some duct tape on my like skating knee pads and like I could like maybe make this little gem thing on my belt. So it sort of turned into an Amazon compiling of things, but then me being crafty to really make it scream Jubilee.
Right.
And it actually like really worked out.
It turned out really, really well. And you were the only Jubilee in the whole group of like 50 or 60 people, but it looked great. Everybody knew who you were right away. Mm-hmm. I mean, anybody that had watched X-Men 93, 97, whatever they want to call it. But it was great. And
it turned out good.
You know, the reason nobody else did it is because Jubilee's traditionally gotten a lot of hate from the community.
Apparently she's annoying.
Yeah. She wasn't the favorite character, but like you did a really great job. And like having that photo op with the guy who did the Sentinel was great for that.
Yeah.
No, it turned out really good. And that yellow jacket looks really good. Just yellow leather looks really good. Yeah.
I know. I think I need to do more yellow cosplays. Because Carlotta Champagne the other day, she looked at me and she goes, for a white person, you look really good in yellow. Oh, no. And I was like, thanks. Oh, no. So I'm taking that to heart. I'm like, you know what? You're right. I need to do more yellow. But yeah, and then you did Cyclops that day. And you actually like 3D printed and made your visor.
The visor, yeah.
Is that what it's called, visor?
Yeah,
it's like
visor.
His eyes, like what do you...
And it turned out better than it did the first time when I tried making it for...
Dragon?
Was it Dragon or was it Orlando?
We did a party. That's what it was. We did like an after party that was...
Yeah, but no, this one I made this time was a much higher quality piece. And it will be higher quality for the next one when I can refinish it. Because while the paint was drying, it got attacked by an animal. and got scratched up a little bit, but it's fine. It's
fine.
It's
more lived in, you know?
Yeah, it's paddle damage.
And then while we were walking around, because we had some time to kill before our panel, we did like a how to group cosplay panel. But I ran into this artist that made this comic book called Fearless Dawn, and she was super cute. So I bought a comic book just because I thought she was like really cute. She like beats up Nazis, which I think is rad. And then also they were like, oh, if you get the book, like spend an extra dollar and get a sticker. And I was like, I sure will. So that was pretty cool, grabbing that. And then we of course had to buy blind boxes. So I've jumped ship to the newest blind box. It's not even a new craze. It's been around, but it's like the Mickey and Friends. So we got a couple of those, and you got the one you wanted, and I got the one I wanted. So
yeah,
really
Goofy
fun.
And Donald. I wanted Goofy.
I really wanted Chip and Dale, but I got Dale, and he's kind of beat up, but that's okay. I'll clean his face off. And I got Minnie, and I haven't got a single duplicate, which is rare for me.
Crazy.
I usually get like 8 of the same one, and then I get mad about it, but you know, that happened.
And your panel went really, really well on Sunday. There was a lot of people there.
Yeah, that was also like wild and unexpected, because like we were so busy promoting Ignition Press, Red Sonja, that it like, it felt weird to promote my own panel when I was like essentially being paid to promote these other things. So that sort of took priority when it came to promoting. And all of a sudden it's like, oh no, it's time for our panel. What if no one's there? And we were walking up to the ballroom and I was kind of like, well, if it's just us, then we'll have a good old time. Maybe we'll live stream it. We'll figure something out. But we were sandwiched in between like a Star Wars panel and like, what was it, like a food panel?
Yeah, it was like the food of television and movies, and like weird recipes or weird food you find in television and movies, or stuff that was inspired by, I think.
Yeah.
Based on what I read, I think that's what it was, yeah.
And I don't know who chose the panel lineup, but thank you so much, because our panel was like full. Yeah. There was maybe like 5, 6, 7 seats open.
Yeah.
At most.
Yeah.
And people sat there and were actively listening, even if they were only there for the next panel or just stayed from Star Wars. Like, it was bumping.
Yeah.
And I kind of
questions and
yeah, I was gonna say, I kind of thought after we were done that people would like not really have questions or just kind of be like, cool, thanks, move on in the next. But we had multiple people come up and ask us like really great
solid questions
for things
yeah.
that we didn't talk about and just kind of like breezed through. And it definitely, like, I love public speaking, so I definitely want to write another panel and do, like, the WonderCon San Diego stint again, just because, like, I love educating and I like communicating to and with people, so I definitely want to do that again. But that was really fun. Like, that, I think, was one of my highlights of the whole stint, was, like, that our panel was so well received.
Yeah.
And I hope San Diego kept a clicker and kept track of how many people we had, because that was, like, really cool to see how busy we were and how people really cared about what we had to say and really care about the makers community. So yeah. That was really great. What was your favorite booth at the con?
My favorite booth? The one Cosmo was working. Obviously.
The Boom Studios? Do you remember the name of it?
Just because Cosmo and Nate were working, yeah.
It was really fun to see them working, too. They seemed to really enjoy it. Next time Cosmo's on, we'll have to, like, ask him how San Diego went.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm a Star Wars nerd, so any, you know, that big Star Wars installation they had.
That was really cool.
Was really, really cool, and yeah.
Yeah, Star Wars was really cool.
Yeah.
I liked the theming of Pop Mart. Theirs was really cool, except for, like, we couldn't go in because it was so busy. I really liked this person's booth because we stopped by them, which I don't even know, like, what the name of their booth was. Asylum Press?
Probably.
Looks like. They were really cute. They were very, like, immersive and communicative with us when we walked up. They were super nice.
I love that the Thrilljoy installation, who, you know, run by our friend Carissa, we didn't even get to see it because they were sold out. So congratulations, Thrilljoy. I'm glad everything's going amazing, Carissa. Congratulations to you, girl.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. We should get Carissa on.
We should.
Really cool.
That would be good.
They did, like, a whole after party and stuff, too. It was really cool looking. Yeah.
We should get her on. That'd be a good idea.
I know. I gotta dig in the archives and grab their number out and be like, hey, what are you doing? You want to come talk about yourself and how great you are? But on that note, that was our San Diego. I would probably rate it, I don't know. I felt like I felt like it wasn't a complete miss, but it wasn't like a home run. So I would still give it like a 7.5.
Okay. I've been rocking the 8.5s today. I'm going to go 8.5 still. Yeah. Fair enough.
I don't think we'll do a Patreon for this episode, but if you are interested, there are 3 free episodes on Patreon right now. So be sure to go check them out. I would love to see you there. All the money that we get from our Patreon helps us upgrade our set. It bought us 2 new cards for our audio files because we've been having so many problems with our audio file cards. So hopefully that will fix our problem for a little bit. So thank you all so much for supporting the Patreon. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. We have tiers as low as $5. So maybe skip your coffee order for the month and support some artists. We're always looking for new guests. So if you have any guests in mind, we do not film via Zoom. Because I want to keep the quality high. So if you know anybody who's visiting LA and you recommend them, or if you know somebody who's in the general California-ish area and you think would be a good guest, name drop them. We would love to have them on. We like chatting with people. We love giving them the platform to talk about themselves or things that drive them truly DeLuli. Thank you so much, Adam, for joining us. Where can they find you online?
Instagram, Adam William Zastro.
And check me out too, Dare Taylor Official. Be sure to also like the podcast episode. And if you're listening to us on Spotify or anywhere else, give us a 5-star rating. We would greatly appreciate it. And we will see all of our little DeLulu friends in the next episode. Because if you stay DeLulu, all your dreams will come true. Lulu. And it's the Salulu. I just gave them all the outros.
All of them. Yep.
All of them at once. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I need to eat. I'm so hungry.